And so today we have come this morning to the climax of the story of the dealings of God with us. This is the summit we have been working toward. The women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, go out to the tomb while it is still dark, and there they encounter not the dead body of Jesus, but an angel who reminds them what Jesus told them in Galilee. In Matthew's gospel, the angel says, "You're looking for the crucified Jesus. He isn't here. He's risen, and he's gone before you to Galilee." The risen Christ isn't in the tomb. Where is he? He's where he told you he would be when he was in Galilee. He's gone ahead to Galilee. The angels are making all these references to Galilee. This year I found that so interesting, these gospel references to Galilee here on Easter morning. The great Easter morning question, why Galilee? One might think on the first day of your resurrected life, you'd go someplace interesting, Jerusalem. Turn up at the palace, confront Pontius Pilate. Say to him, "Pilate, you made a big mistake. Now it's payback time." Or perhaps you go all the way to Rome and stand before the emperor in your resurrected glory and say, "Well, Caesar, I guess you're not as much of a lord as you thought you were." No, you heard these angels. He's gone ahead to Galilee, as he told you he would in Galilee when he was teaching you. Why Galilee? Galilee, it's an out-of-the-way, backcountry sort of place. But think about it. All his disciples come from Galilee. Galilee is where he took hold of Andrew and Peter, drawing them into the work of the kingdom. Galilee is where he found James and John on the beach and called them to follow him. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Christ will not lose track of you. Why would you go back to Galilee? Only for the reason that it's where Christ had encountered his disciples. In fact, the women are told, "You're not to go to the holy city, you're to go home, you're to go to Galilee. There he will meet you." The great Easter truth Mary Magdalene hears from these angels is not simply the stirring words, "He's risen." Certainly that would be wonder enough, the crucified Jesus risen from the dead. But the great news is, he told you this in Galilee, he's risen and he's gone ahead of you to Galilee. He came back, not simply from the dead, that would be wonder enough, but he came back to us. He came back for us. He came back where he would find us. The great 18th century churchman John Wesley has said that it's one thing to believe that God is God, but the moment of conversion comes when you believe God is God for us. Your presence here on this beautiful spring morning for me is a kind of a proof, if you must have proof, that the women were right. He's risen. There is something about the risen Christ that makes him keep showing up to this ragtag bunch of losers who so disappointed him and betrayed him the first time. But it's only to them that he shows up. We don't call them resurrected Christ sightings in the Gospels. It's resurrected Christ appearances. That is, his presence is always a gift. A gift to the very ones who lost their way and betrayed him. And there you are. I confess, this past week as we've walked the way to the cross, I found myself fascinated not by the pomp and panoply of the liturgics. I found myself looking at you, and I found myself thinking, it's the 21st century, I can't believe they're here. These people are as hard and cynical as human beings get. The world we've made for ourselves revels in philandering, dishonesty, cruelty, violence, and despair. And yet you've come out this morning. I think it's that dynamic message, that the messengers at the tomb announce. He's not here, he's ahead of you. Back in Galilee, back to where you call home, back to where you go to hide. It's so easy for us to think of religion as something we do, something we produce for ourselves. Listen to us talk about our faith. Since I accepted Christ as my Savior, since I took Jesus into my heart. But that's not the way the scripture tells the story. You don't take Jesus places, he takes you places. It's not all that interesting that I might have made a decision for Christ. The astounding thing is that in Jesus Christ, God has made a decision for us. If you've walked with us the way of the cross this week, you can imagine the forethought, the planning, the work our team has put into making this week possible. And I'm grateful to everyone who's worked so hard or sung so hard. But in our better moments, we know we don't produce church. Church is what happens when the risen Christ comes back to us, when the risen Christ comes back for us. It's all gift. Grace all the way down. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead refuses to be God alone, refuses to reign alone. He comes back for us. The crucified Christ rose from the tomb on Easter, destined to reign at the right hand of the Father in paradise. But on his way, he takes a detour. He goes to Galilee. And so the great 13th century church father Duns Scotus says, even if we had never sinned, God would have come for us. O church, your faith is what you get after Easter, when the peripatetic Jesus comes back to the very ones who a couple of days before shouted, crucify him, the very ones who turned their backs on him, the very ones who denied him. Salvation is not what you can manage to swallow without choking, or when you get your life all cleaned up. Salvation is when the risen Christ comes to you where you are, when the risen Christ comes for you who you are. This joyful hour we have together this morning is a kind of tangible, temporal demonstration that the women were right. He is risen. He's risen indeed, and he is busy pursuing, trailing, embracing sinners like you and me. Or as the psalm puts it, goodness and mercy have surely followed me. If we had time, I bet I could go to just about everybody here and ask you, how'd you decide to come? And I bet your testimony would be, oh, I don't know so much that I decided. It was rather that in one way or another, I got put here. Christ came and got me. The great mystery of a God who is a God for us. I was with a man a short time ago, a couple of days before his death. And before I gave him communion, I asked him, how are you feeling now? Because if I was facing my end, I might be anxious. Are you anxious? And he said, not really. More than anything, I feel sort of anticipation. I said, really? What do you mean? He said, well, lying here in this hospital bed, I've had a lot of time to think back over my life. And I remembered about all those times when I wasn't really thinking about God and I wasn't really looking for God, but God just decided to go ahead and jump in anyway. God kept showing up, unannounced, unexpected, uninvited. And when I have thought of all the trouble God has gone to through my life to get me, I don't think God's going to let a little thing like death stump him. That man knew that once this God has a hold of you, God is not going to let go of you. God is going to come back. God is going to track you down. And so here is the truth of today. He is not among the dead. He is risen. He has risen indeed. He's gone ahead of you to Galilee. He's gone ahead of you to where you can be found. Amen.